D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Sportsnet, NHL Insider, Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank. Get old, a road-weary Elliot Freeman. I'm sure. Elliot, I want to ask you to start about a trade the Predators made yesterday. They reacquired Eric Halla from the New Jersey Devils for a fourth-round pick and a minor league defenseman. What does that trade signal to you about the direction the Predators could go this offseason?
Well, it just added even more swagger to their dressing room. The great nickname, Hall of Famer, because of Eric's confidence in himself, and he is a very confident lad. You know, look, we knew that Barry Trotz was looking for center help. We knew that one of the things that he definitely believed after last season was that he was going to try to find some. And while he's not the youngest guy in the world, Halla, he can certainly play it, and he is confident in his ability to play it. And, you know, I'll say this. What it also says to me, Adam, is that as I'm hearing around the league right now, is that almost everybody wants to get better. And while that may sound stupid, it's not, because every year there are teams that say this is not our year, or we don't expect to contend for a playoff spot. And this year, there's basically only one team that's coming right out and saying, we're not competing, and that's Pittsburgh. So, you know, everybody wants to make trades, and everybody wants to get better, but it's very hard to find players. And New Jersey wants to open up cap room, and that says to me that Nashville is honest in its intention that's a move for now. Eric Halla can fill a hole for you now, and Nashville's not too interested in taking steps backwards.
There is one team out there, Elliot, that I wonder if the Predators can emulate this offseason. It's not the Florida Panthers, because I know everybody wants to do what the Panthers are doing. It's the Washington Capitals, because of that one-year retool that they had last season, namely Pierre-Luc Dubois, Jacob Chychrun, even a couple of years back with Dylan Strome. But I'm wondering if there is a player out there who fits the criteria that Pierre-Luc Dubois did last season, a player who's still in the prime of his career, early to mid-20s, high pedigree, you know, top draft pick in his draft year, bounced around the league, didn't work out in Columbus, didn't work out in Winnipeg, didn't work out in L.A. The Capitals were able to bring him in and made him a successful part of their team. Is there a Dubois-like player out there available to teams this summer?
I think that one of the guys who jumps off the top of my head would be Elias Pettersson from Vancouver. But I don't think they're trading him, Adam, unless they're getting a good center back, like a top center back. Like, there's no question that the way it went last year for Pettersson, he was not at the top of his game. There was a lot of talk about whether or not they were going to move him. He hasn't bounced around as much as Dubois, but he was a high pick, and he is coming off a really rough year. But Vancouver seems like, unless you give them, I don't see Nashville having what Vancouver is going to want to do that. So I think it's more likely he stays. He would have been one name like that. I think another guy who could have been like that, although he's older, is Zibanejad. But again, the Rangers haven't asked him to submit teams. He's got full control, and they seem to want to solve their problems as opposed to trade their problem. You know, I'll say this. The name that was out there a couple weeks ago was Jason Robertson. Again, a guy who's only been with one team. I'm not sure. Like, I think now it looks like Dallas is going to sign him, or try to anyway. So that's a name that I would have thought about, even though he's not a center. Like, I see a lot of guys who maybe aren't as well-traveled as Dubois, but were potentially available. I'm just not sure how it's all going to end up. Pettersson, I just don't think you have what Vancouver is going to ask for them to do it. He's the first guy who jumped into my head.
Connor McDavid addressing reporters today, along with the rest of the Edmonton Oilers. And, of course, McDavid was asked about re-signing with the Oilers because he's eligible for an extension in a couple of weeks. And he said, quote, I feel that there's a good window to win here over and over again, then signing is no problem. How are you feeling about the prospects of McDavid signing before the season starts? Or do you think that this is something that could bleed into the next regular season?
I think there's the possibility of that, Adam, of bleeding into the regular season, only because if you look at, like, I don't think Connor McDavid and the Oilers look at it as it has to happen July 1st. I don't believe that. And number two, I think you guys have a sign for any year. Teams are going to have a better situation than that one right off the top. The fact that Leon is there, and he's locked in for 8 more years, that's Edmonton's best evidence, right? Like, the two of them together have now gone to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals. It's going to be hard to show better than that. Now, I think what he's saying is, we've got to fix up some of our other issues, and I assume the Oilers are going to work on just doing that. But, Adam, that's the reason if I was the Oilers, I would feel the most confident. Now, I always say the surest predictor of future behavior is past behavior. Leon Draisaitl signed his contract extension in Edmonton last year on September the 3rd. Austin Matthews, who's represented by the same agent as McDavid, that's Judd Moldaver, he signed his contract extension in August. So there is some history there for both team and agent to wait a bit. That's another reason I don't panic about it. To me, honestly, Adam, the most interesting question is going to be term. You know, is McDavid going to do the full 8, or is he going to do maybe a shorter one and then keep his options open? Like, if you look at Matthews' history, he's done 3 years, 5 years, 4 years. McDavid did 3 and then 8. I am curious to see what he does term-wise here. And for money, they'll throw whatever they want at him.
That's true. And to your point about past leading to the future, Roman Josi, represented by Judd Moldaver, when he signed his contract extension several years ago, and it took until, I believe, the end of October for Roman Josi to put pen to paper. So that does seem like
there's a good one, yeah. So that, you know, like, that's good comparable.
So speaking of Roman Josi, Derek has a question for
you
about
speaking of Roman Josi, and I do have a question about the Florida Panthers as well. But speaking of Roman Josi, obviously he's been diagnosed with POTS, and I'm sure he's still learning, as is the Nashville Predators, more and more about POTS. But how do you think this affects, not necessarily him, because he's going to, the team is going to have to find out a way to manage this, but how does it affect them when it comes to roster? Because they don't know some of these symptoms that is associated with POTS. You just don't know when they're going to hit. So how do you think this affect them and Barry as he puts together this roster?
Well, I think, like, there are athletes, Derek, who have played with this before. So that's the most important thing. Like, you just have to monitor it, and you have to be aware of it. So, you know, I think it sounds to me like the first thing I heard was, like, there have been situations before in the NHL where players have had concussion-like symptoms and then found out it wasn't a concussion, it was something else, and it helped them a lot. So when I first read the story, I was optimistic for Josi's future, because it's clear that, you know, he was worried that he had, like, some sort of concussion symptoms that might affect the rest of his career. And that's not the case. So the first time I read through the story, I actually thought it was good news, because, you know, he found out that he didn't have lasting concussion symptoms. The other situation, you know, from what I understand about it, as long as you're on top of it and as long as you monitor it and You know, these trainers we've seen over the years in some very frightening situations, these trainers, they know what they're doing. So unless I'm given reason not to be optimistic, I am optimistic to believe that Yossi can play with this and just manage it properly.
Now, speaking of the future, the Florida Panthers, they've won back-to-back Stanley Cups. And we know what, you know, what Edmonton is dealing with, trying to figure out how they're going to keep their number one guy in McDavid. But also, the Florida Panthers, if they want a three-peat, they got to find a way to keep Ekblad and Bennett. Do you think they will, you know, push more of their resources to trying to sign both of them? Or do you think they're just going to try to pick out one guy to sign?
I think they're going to try to do as many as they can. Mm-hmm. I think the one advantage that they have, Derek, that's I think the advantage that they have that a lot of other teams didn't have, Derek, mm-hmm. is that the cap is now going up. Like, because of COVID and how things were coming out of COVID, the cap didn't go up for a long time. Now, Florida is trying to do this in an era where there's going to be a bit of a squeeze for them next year, but then in the next couple of years after that, we're going to see real jumps, and there are possibilities we could see even more. So it's going to be there is going to be flexibility that other teams didn't have. They offered I think they had Bennett. They offered a Bennett, which around, like, one of their players, Carter Verhaeghe, signed this year for 8x7 with bonus structure. I think that's what they were hoping to get Bennett at. I think they're going to have to bend a little bit. Like, everybody here is going to have to compromise. Bennett's not going to be able to get what he's going to get in the open market. I think he's okay with that. I think he wants to stay. Florida's going to have to bend a bit. Ekblad, you know, he played the best hockey of his life. I've heard term is very important to him. I don't think Florida was willing to offer that. I think that's probably the biggest change that Florida's going to have to make, was their offer to him or how they felt about him. And Marchand, I got to tell you,
and that was going to be my next
honestly,
question.
Yeah, well, also too, like, nobody mentions Nate Schmidt. That guy had a hell of a year for them. That's another guy who's going to do very well in Florida, unless Florida can find a way to keep him. But, you know, Marchand, he's 37 years old, and I heard there was a 3x8 out there for him, 3 years at $8 million. Derek, and someone said to me, that overall number, $24 million, might end up being low. So, the way he played, Derek, mm-hmm. he's going to get paid.
Elliot, I do want to ask you, sort of in lieu of what I was talking about with Pierre-Luc Dubois, looking at players, you know, young 20s who could be on the move. There are two that are intriguing to me. J.J. Paterka in Buffalo and Marco Rossi yeah. in Minnesota. Because I feel like those yeah. are the types of players who would sort of qualify for that Capitals-esque retool on the fly type thing. What yeah. are you hearing about Paterka and Rossi with their respective teams?
Well, the Sabres went from saying we're not doing that to we don't want to do that. But we have to at least listen about it. I think they know the player is unhappy. Around the league, I still think the feeling is Buffalo doesn't want to do it. So we'll see where that goes. Like, that says to me, you're going to have to really give Buffalo a reason to do it. Rossi, the thing about Rossi is, Bill Guerin, the Minnesota GM, has made it very clear that them trading Rossi is not about the player. They just disagree on the financial contract, what it should be. So they're just having a disagreement on you know, what he should be paid. But they have no issue with him as the player. And what Guerin has indicated, Adam, is that he's not making his team work. So you've either got to give them something that doesn't make the move backward, or give them something that allows him to make moves that, in another deal, that doesn't allow him to move backwards. So that's the issue with those particular players.
One more for you, Elliot. What more can you tell us about Marco Rossi? Because he had a breakout season for the Wild. He had 60 points and his ice time fell off a cliff in the postseason. And we're familiar with John Hines around here, but I'm not familiar exactly with what happened with Rossi, that he went from such a productive player in the regular season to being a complete non-factor in the playoffs. What am I missing?
Well, he got put on the fourth line, and I think one of the things that I heard happened was that Rossi, they offered him a bridge deal this year, and Rossi said, and his representative said, no offense, but no, because you put him on the fourth line in the playoffs, and that could affect our earning potential out of a bridge deal. They got a really tough matchup, a big, strong group in Vegas, and I just think they felt that Rossi couldn't handle it. You know, the game's different in the playoffs, and, you know, Rossi, I think Rossi was bothered by that. I think he was upset by that, and I wouldn't expect anything different. Like these athletes, they have enormous pride in themselves, and I heard that really bothered him. And I think he's just in a situation where he wants to make sure he's somewhere where he's going to play top-line center. And I think in the playoffs, they just felt that he wasn't as effective versus Vegas, and they moved him down the lineup.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, joining us on D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, great stuff. As always, get some rest. We'll talk to you next week, one day before the NHL draft.
All right, boys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Elliot Freeman on the program. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, LeBron James made plenty of headlines yesterday for something that he said. I thought the timing was interesting because of what happened in the Stanley Cup Final, even though LeBron James wasn't talking about the Stanley Cup Final. And we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.